Y'all looking for company tonight?
No, just my, the family's coming to get Molly to take me home.
No, they not.
We're not gonna let Molly.
We just not gonna let her. You tell them that you just can't go.
I've just been here 11 weeks today, so don't you think it's time that you get tired of me? Time that I was gonna get myself out of here? They wanna get washing the dishes again. God does.
Well, we can't let our dishwasher go.
I think I can let up on the dishwasher a little longer.
He thinks he can turn it over to me. You see, he's ready for me to go.
He's not ready for you to go. You might be ready to go, but they're not ready for you to go.
Oh.
Well, Mama has been right patient this time. She's been tall.
Maybe we might get some fun and get drunk tonight.
Well, I'll say, this would be a good thing. That would be a celebration dinner,
wouldn't it, though?
When I can't stand the taste of it.
Well,
I'm just shooting off in the mouth. We don't do that.
Oh, you know, last Saturday night, Louise and her husband come over.
Oh, did
and
they?
And did we have a ball?
Well, I wish I had, as Faye says, I wished I had been a mouse.
Now, we had a ball.
Oh, I was wishing I could have.
Do you know she's selling out and leaving?
What's that?
She's selling everything but her home place and going to move to Virginia. She says that she can't do nothing with Andrew. She says that he just won't accept Whitey. And I told her, I said, Louise, I hope. I talked to her a while ago before I left the house. And I said, I hope that you don't make a foolish move. On account of your people, because I tell you, I'd have done been gone if my people and Marvin's people would have had anything to done with it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I wouldn't think about selling my stuff, but I tell you, this is just between us, and I'm afraid that Whitey's the cause of that. Now, I don't know.
Is he the kind that sort of needles him?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, much about him. I've just seen him twice.
Yes. Well, I kept thinking I'd run into him or something. You see, I never even seen him.
Well, she wanted me to go to the river tomorrow night.
Well, we better go.
I can't. No, that's impossible. That, I got me a hog.
You got your what?
I got me a hog. And the cow's there to milk. And the calf is to feed, and I can't go off. I just can't do it. I can't leave home and just leave that. And I told her, I said, Louise, I just can't do it. I'd like to go.
Maybe some of your neighbors could.
I haven't got any neighbors.
Well, you won't stay a week.
I know, but I can't go. And being out on that road at night, I don't like it. But she told me, I explained to her this morning and told her that I would like to go. And she said that next week we was going to get together. She's leaving, I think, the 11th. And we're going to get together, she said, next week.
Yeah. Over at your house?
I don't know where we're going to get together, but she wants us to get together. And
just you and her?
Well, she didn't say. She said we were going to have a ball before she left.
Oh, did she?
She said Marvin and Whitey had theirs last Saturday night. I went over and one day, I believe it was the day before yesterday, and stayed the whole evening long with her.
Well, now that's more like it. Yes, you all have been doing that all along.
Well, you see, she's gone so much. She don't stay home.
Oh, she
doesn't? No. Yeah, she sure is. She's at the river, or she's somewhere else. Now, she's been staying at the river. She's been trying to get me to go down there.
Well, I don't know why you...
I'm tied up. You just can't walk off and leave what you got and nobody to take care of it.
You can get somebody.
Mm-mm, I can't.
I know a fella.
Who's that? Mr. Dodd?
No, that boy who'd been going over there on Saturday. He can listen to you, and he can do what you tell him.
You mean the picture-taking boy?
No.
Well, what boy was that?
Alan.
He really is good.
He's a nice boy.
Alan?
Yeah. You don't know him? But anyhow, he's one of the boys from up there at the campus, and he's been going out there on Saturdays. He's been out there 3 or 4 Saturdays, working, helping.
Oh, Mr. Dodd.
Yes.
He's the most responsible boy I ever saw.
Yes.
You tell him to open the gate, he'd open it and close it.
Yeah, and he gets it straight. Mm-hmm. I wish we could sort of keep him around.
Miss Doc says he's a fine boy.
Yes.
I thought maybe we'd send Suzanne back to town. Get us some fish and fry some fish.
Yeah.
Or hush puppies.
Break Suzanne in. She held Jimmy doing anything.
Oh, they don't know Mr. Miles how to milk a cow. They might milk the wrong end.
I doubt it. I didn't know.
Well, it's time they learn. It isn't.
Oh, gosh.
It is time they learn.
I sure hate for you to miss going up there. That'd just be so fun.
Yeah. Mm. I tell you, that Louise Graham, if I could go and talk to her like you do, I'd get somebody to milk the cow something.
You're just about her best friend, I'll bet. She calls on you.
You know, she fell and broke her foot.
Yes.
And she can't hardly get around, but she told me this morning she had her shoes now and said she could walk better. You know what she's got? She's got a truck. She's got a big house trailer.
Yeah.
A truck house trailer.
Camper.
No, it's not a camper. It's a truck house trailer. And a camper.
And a camper.
Absolutely. And I went over there to see her house trailer on wheels.
Yeah.
But she said Andy had it and was going with it to get some work done with on it. And she's going to pack that and the camper. And she said, we're going to Virginia like a bunch of gypsies. We're going to carry our boat. And they wanted me and Marvin to meet them up into the mountains. But we can't go. We just can't go.
Well, you may have to sell that cow.
She said that it would sleep eight.
Why was married?
That's what she said. And then she's got the camper, you know.
Oh,
that's
as big as
ours was.
Sleep eight.
I think she said it slept eight. Yeah. It was either four or eight.
Yeah. Well, it could easily do it.
Well, a little camper will sleep four.
You know, bunks.
Mm-hmm. So she's got her stove and her refrigerator and her deep freeze and everything in there.
Yeah. Well, now, Whitey must take to that, too, or else...
He's quitting his job today.
Tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me. You don't mean quitting?
Yeah. He's quitting. That's what she said. She wants us to get together for next week because she wants us to go out yonder tonight and celebrate.
You just gonna have to do that.
I can't do it.
You just can't do it. You just can't miss that.
I can't do it.
It's just like missing your birthday or something.
I can't go.
Good Lord, Faye.
And Marvin, how many more days he have?
Today.
Is his last day too? Well, go on with it, Miss Mary. You've got to celebrate.
What would you do if we celebrate?
Just celebrate.
What do you do?
They're going to have a gospel sing.
Oh.
And music and lots of, I don't know what, eats and drinks and...
On
Suwannee River.
Oh, on Suwannee River.
Mm-hmm. She's got a home down there at Fort Fanning.
Oh. Are they white people or colored people?
They're white people.
Oh, you don't know these
people. No, I don't know.
You want me to tell you what she done?
Yeah.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
She called up Whitey's boss man, and she said, you big SBU, and she really bawled him out, and she told him in plain words, she said, you know that you ain't nothing but a big old SB, and he said, Louise, I know it. Something another he done to Whitey. And she told him, she said, I got plenty of money. She said, he don't have to work out there. And she done it too.
She's got plenty of money.
Yeah, she's got plenty of money. She's selling a piece of land over there for $93,000. And she's done sold, I don't know how much. I went with her and the men, and rode over the property. And they coming back today to take it.
$93,000.
That is right.
And she sold property before this.
That's right. She sold. She sold over $7,000 worth here. Oh, it ain't last month, I think. And then she sold another piece, and she had plenty of money before that. That 75 paid her a fortune.
Yeah.
When Hit went through there.
Yeah.
She's got plenty of money.
Good Lord.
And she told him she didn't have to have the university. She had, she could take care of him. But I can't do that. Because Marvin might have to go back.
Yes.
And there's nobody over there you want to call an SB.
That's right.
Marvin's got friends over there.
That's right. They begged him and begged him,
yes,
not to leave them. And they told Marvin. Marvin said that his boss men, both of them told him, said, in 6 months or a year, if you can't make a go of it, he said, your job's open for you.
Yes.
And they asked him, Marvin said, they asked him, said, is there anything in the world that we can do to make you stay? And he said, no, sir. He said, I just got to go home. And they said, well, we'll give you more money. He said, that ain't going to help a bit. He said, I've just got to be at home. Till I can make different arrangements.
And they thought something might be going wrong out there.
They thought something may be going wrong. And I told Marvin, I said, you be sure and you tell them that there's nothing wrong. He said, I've already told them that wasn't a thing in the world wrong, but I just had to go home.
Whenever I quit, they always glad to see me go. It'd be something, wouldn't it?
Marvin said that one of the men said yesterday, said, Marvin, I don't know what we're going to do without you. See, Marvin knows how to get up and go and do things.
Yes.
And Rob Roy, if one of them looks at him straight, he'll cuss them out. And I told Marvin when he first went out there, I said, now don't you do that. I said, don't you cuss nobody nor sass nobody. He said, I'm not.
Well, Rob Roy is not quite as easy to...
No.
If they tell him something...
How to do anything, why, he cusses them out.
They hear from him.
And that's not no way to do. If you got a man out yonder working for you and he don't know how to do it, you're supposed to go and show him and tell him.
Yeah. And you may have a certain way you want it done.
That's right. That's right. If I had anybody working on my house or doing anything and they weren't doing it right, I'd do just like I did Sis Roebuck.
Just tell them.
That they just had to do it over before they got any money.
That's right. That's right. You had to stand up to them.
I had to stand up to them. And I ain't never got my guarantee yet.
You'll get that.
I won't never get it unless A.Z. Atkins makes him give it to me. If I get him to make him give it to me, it'll be just like the house trailer I bought down here at Micanopy.
Yes. Who did you say you...
Got the house trailer from?
Yeah.
Montgomery, the Pontiac man in Gainesville.
Yeah. I remember you said, I thought it was somebody I knew. I don't know him.
I didn't know at the time that he was the Pontiac man, but I found out later he was because Louise told me.
She knew about it.
Mm-hmm. And he took my money and he went to Hawaii.
Miss Mary.
And he wouldn't give me that title to it.
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
That's right.
$1,000, cool cash.
It cost me over $1,000. The time I got through with it. Yeah, I gave him a whole $1,000 cash money.
And it was worth it.
Yes, it was good trade.
But you couldn't get a title to it.
I couldn't get a title to it. I couldn't sell it, and I couldn't give it to nobody, and I couldn't do nothing with it.
Because you didn't have a title.
Because I didn't have a title, and he wouldn't give it to me.
He didn't have it himself.
He didn't have it himself.
That's the way Cookie...
But he just beat around the bush, and he told me one falsehood right after the other. And then he finally told me he didn't have no title. And I called Mr. Adkins, and Mr. Adkins says, well, he'll sure get a title or go to jail. And he made him cough it up.
Well, what was he, just holding out on
it? I don't know. I just can't figure it out.
Because the title wouldn't do it. Oh, I don't know.
Well,
what do you think he could do with it?
I had a receipt that it was paid in full. But I can't figure that out. Louise come very near buying it.
Oh, did she?
She wanted it.
She went right. She seen it. She drove right by it.
Yeah. And she was about to buy it, but she didn't know this.
Well, no, what she'd have done. She'd have got stuck just the same way you did.
She'd have got stuck just the same as I did, but she'd have done just like I did.
Yeah. Except she wouldn't have let him put her off like you did.
She probably wouldn't.
Don't you reckon?
I reckon.
I'm just giving her credit for a lot of things. I wouldn't be able to do it, but I believe she could have.
Like she called this boss man up.
Whitey said Saturday night, said he didn't know nothing about it. Said he didn't know she'd call him. He said his boss man told him.
She resigned for him. She must be a character.
She's a good woman, but she just don't let nobody run over her. Mm-hmm. And her brothers is the same way. She was a feaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, her brothers was the same way. Are the same way.
There's one of they kin to her, yeah. But you know, out in Mr. Bruce, yeah. He died here not long ago, and he's buried out there at Louise's house.
Yeah.
There's one of his brothers that's dead and buried out there in his field, and they tell me that one of them got the cow whip and went out there to whip the other one, and he just killed him. You don't fool up with them feasters.
They were brothers.
Brothers.
You know, that's a side of feasters I didn't know. I thought the feasters were all easygoing people. Where did I get that idea?
I don't know. You don't walk across their land, you don't frog hunt on it, and you don't hunt on it.
Oh, really?
That's right. They tell me that they'd beat one another. You know where Theo lives? Well, it's right off in front of his house where they tell me that there's one of them buried. Now, Theo's just as nice a person as you ever want to meet.
Yes. But he's still...
Mm-hmm. No, he's a Zet Rock.
He's a Zet Rock, yes.
But they all kin, see?
Yes. Well, has he got that in his blood, too?
I don't know about that. I ain't never heard nothing that Theo does.
I never either.
Theo seems to be a mighty nice fella. But he's a Zet Rock. The Zet Rocks and the Feasters. They all kin folks.
Is his wife still living in town?
Louise says she is.
She's still in town, and he's still out there with his sister.
Mm-hmm. I imagine he goes back and forth.
At Rochelle.
He never mentioned it to Marvin and I.
He never brought it up.
Never brought it up. I call him every once in a while just to see if he will.
That'd be a bit on.
Ain't nothing happened.
Well, you know, just not make anything of it.
I wish you all could have been over Saturday night.
Oh, I would. Yes. Gee, wouldn't that have been something, Faith?
Golly.
You get them two together. I don't know. After they get together, the rest of the neighbors must seem mighty tame.
Just she came over?
She and White.
Oh, she and White.
Now, is Whitey, is he loud?
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell me.
What you mean loud?
Like Louise.
Oh, yes, sir. He's worse than Louise. Louise would say, Whitey, shut up. Whitey, ain't you ashamed? He tickled the pure fire out of me. We had supper, you know, we weren't looking for nobody. And I had some cornbread, and it was sitting on the gas stove, and I had cooked some shelled beans. And I had them cooked, and I don't know what all, potato salad and tomatoes and lettuce. And first one thing, another, they didn't get that till after dark.
Yeah.
About dark.
And you weren't moving one?
No. And every once in a while, Whitey, you know, he'd go and get him a little piece of that corn.
Oh, my God.
And he was about 3 sheets in the wind anyway.
Yes.
And every once in a while, he'd go get a little piece of that cornbread. And I said, well, heck, I said, Louise got after him about eating my cornbread. I said, let him eat it. I don't care. So I went in and I fixed the table and fixed his supper. And he said, after a while, he said, Mary, he said, I know how come Marvin to marry you. He said, he knowed he was getting a good cook. I said, Marvin didn't marry me for that. We just had a ball.
How did I get the idea that he was a quiet little fella?
I don't know, but you ought to hear that rascal pick the guitar and sing.
Oh,
that's how come Louise took to him.
Yeah, they used to go around and sing, and they sang together the night they got married. I wish you could have heard what they done. That booger can sure pick the guitar and sing.
Well, I'll be damned. And here I have been just feeling sorry for Louise living with that little quiet feller over there.
I want you to meet him. You be so embarrassed, you won't know what to do.
Yeah.
If he don't make Louise ashamed, I'm here.
She kind of flinches.
She kind of flinches. He's way ahead of her. He tells things on her, you know. And she just can't stand it. He told me and Marvin, you know, all about not they got married and they went to the river and what all they done. I told Marvin when they left, I said, you know, if you was talking about me like that, I'd kill you. Louise would say, well, Whitey, ain't you ashamed?
He gets it going.
And it just done him so much good.
I don't know what I've been. I'm always wrong, but I never was this wrong.
Yes, that, well, I had the same notion, you know, that he was, you know, Louise could just sort of crook her finger and he'd do what she said.
Well, he might do that, but he sure ain't quiet. He's everything but quiet.
And they just went up to Virginia just to stay.
That's right.
Has it bought land up there?
I really don't know, but she said she might build her a home.
Must have a place. Oh, Lord, I wonder where they'll be staying that trailer until they get
there.
No, they go into his mother's.
Oh, we know they had somebody up there.
Mm-hmm. His people.
His people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know he was from Virginia.
She went up there and got his daddy, she said, and brought him down here and kept him and carried him for a ride all over the country and showed him things and said, she told him, she said, this is Walkie-Footie. And said he got home and he said, Louise, didn't you say that was Walkie-Poopie? She said, no, Dad, I didn't tell you that was Walkie-Poopie. I told you that was Walkie-Hootie.
Well, her money hadn't gone to her head. I heard somebody say that somebody over at McNovie, I was standing there on the street, and they said, now, you know, there's no telling how much money she got. But she says, they said, I haven't been able to see any difference at all in the way they live and act and talk. Who was that? Somebody.
I remember somebody was saying that.
Oh, that Mr. Weaver's store.
They tell, maybe it was you all said all the stores were closed up at Thrasher's.
Yes. Well, Weaver's store hadn't closed yet, but it's on his last leg, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I was over there last night. A haircut. Mr. Weaver gives me a haircut every now and then. Yes, it's a bootleg haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And I come by the store about the time it's closing, and Frank was holding it down then. Oh, I think all of them have been sort of helping to keep it open. And they brought Mary back from the hospital again.
Yeah, that's his wife.
That's Buck's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, now I thought it was just another stroke, but it wasn't. It was a clot. And that's one thing she has to watch out for now, those clots.
Where is it at?
It's in her legs.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know much about it somehow. I didn't find out much. She had got home, and I didn't think she'd ever get home again. You know, I just saw it dismal. And he said, or somebody said, now there again, I forget, you see, who said these things, that working day and night, 7 days a week, had just caught up with her. She was wore out, is the reason she collapsed over there, you see, had that stroke. And of course, she does the work. Buck hadn't been able to do anything. He just sits there and sells pretty candy to the children.
I was really uneasy about Ms. Dodd's leg. That's dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
I know a feller, he hasn't been dead too long. Something got wrong with his toe. And nobody knows what happened to it. But anyway, they carried him to the medical center. And he died with a clot.
Yeah.
A clot went from his toe to his heart.
Yeah.
And killed him, Rufus Hatch.
Yeah. I haven't seen Ms. Dodd since we were over there.
Are they buying cows?
Have you seen her?
I don't remember whether I have or not, but I talked to her.
Can you tell by the saints is easing up a little bit?
No, sir.
Gosh, I'd hate to have to face that.
Ooh. I wouldn't have done it.
I'm surprised she did.
Mr. Miles, she told me since then that they owed, I don't know, I understood her to say, now I might have been mistaken, $100,000. That's a lot of money. Now, she might not have said $100,000, but she told me, she said, we already owe, and I know it was way up into the thousands.
I got the idea they about paid off.
I did too, but and she told me, she says, we got a payment coming up on these cows. Right away. To the bank that they borrowed money, you know, to buy them cows. That was the foolishest thing that I ever heard tell of anybody doing in my life. They sold the cows, and they had a whole lot better cows to my notion than they got now, and then turned around and went and bought some more. That was the foolishest thing.
Well,
and they hauled cows Sunday. They bought some. She said some skinny cows.
Yeah. Old bony cows. But they did buy some.
She said they did.
They had to buy some.
And I called her a while ago, and she was down at the barn, and I asked her, I said, I'm going over to Mr. Miles. Do you want to go with me, Miss Doc? And she said she would, but she was looking for the vet out there. So he must be going to come to treat him.
Yes.
And that cost his money.
Oh, oh yes. You know, she has a pretty good vet bill.
I tell you what I done on Sunday. I told Marvin, I said, let's get these your yearlings off of these cows there at the house. I said, they skinny and they poor. But let's sell them and take them off the cows, and then that'll give the cows a chance to pick up. And we carried off 7. And what you reckon they sold for?
I'd like to know.
$1,000, $1,100, and I believe, I mean, $1,000 and $11, I believe it was. I'd have to get the paper, and 97 cents. Of course, you know now, selling them, and all come out of that.
Mm-hmm. But not much.
No.
That's for seven yearlings.
7 yearlings out of the field, and they weren't very good. It was $1,000 and $1,100, I believe, and $97. I can show you the paper.
Well, that's practically $150 a piece.
That's right.
And they're just little old bony yearlings.
That's right. And you know that little old cow that was, I don't reckon you remember, a little white, roan-colored cow they had there in the field? That was the mother of the dwarf.
Oh.
I told Marvin, I said, take her on too. And she brought way over $100. Oh, I want to show you the sale paper.
Yeah.
Of course, all that, you know, for selling them and all come out of there and left 900 and something.
Yeah.
It just, it weren't cows. It was just yearlings.
That's really, yeah. Except, is that a year old?
No, I don't think they was a year old.
Oh, yearlings.
But they really so good.
There's plenty of grass.
and I thought I'd get rid of them, you know, and that would help the cow. $886.45.
Golly. That's real good.
It's nice to have your own hauling acres.
It is. Not. I don't know what kind Miss Dodd bought, but she bought some from Keystone Heights. Up at Melrose. She's the one that got me my hog. She called me when she was in Hawthorne. And it got me a pig, and he cost $10. And that evening he got out and he left. But you know this rascal come back that night?
Where did you have him?
Out there in the pen in the yard.
Oh, you made a little pen for him?
Mm-hmm. I already had a little pen. I put him out there.
You gonna feed him slop?
Give him that milk.
Oh, oh. Mm-hmm. But you took stole the calves off of him.
No, from a milk cat.
From a milk cat.
Well, now that, that vet bill you had, you know, with that little cow.
Mm-hmm. I haven't paid it yet. How much you reckon it was?
Well, just say you pay these bills. An ordinary trip is $20, isn't it?
Yeah, out here. Just, I mean, if it just come out and don't do anything.
It's $20. So I'd say something like that would go up around $40, $50 anyhow.
Well, it was $50. Mm-hmm. We never did get no statement from them. I kept looking for a statement, so I called them yesterday. And I had no way to get up there to pay it, you know, Marvin being gone. And they said $50. And I figured it'd be $150 or $175
mm-hmm.
for that kind of work.
That kind of work, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's reasonable.
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
I told them I'd be in next week and pay it.
And you'll get that much out of the calf, won't you?
Well, I don't know. It's a nice heifer calf. I'm going to sell that cow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get rid of her.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I'd wait, you know, till the calf got a little older. And then decide whether to kill the calf or not. But that calf's a fine calf. It's going to be all right. It ain't going to be no midget.
Well, you know, I'd like to see just what happens to that calf.
I want to. See, just, you know, I told Marvin I want him to take good care of it.
Yeah.
And just see what he could make out of it.
But the calf's got to have a little milk along for 6 months anyhow.
No, yeah. We'll keep her that long.
You know, that little old black calf. That little old black calf is still over here. And the calf is just a little calf. A little, you might say 3 or 4 months old. And he never goes home.
He don't get the milk?
No.
No milk?
No. So he's going to get stunted.
He sure will.
Why, he can go through that fence anywhere if
he
wanted to.
And he can go home. We run him home and he comes back.
And after a while I heard his mama bawling over there. She must dry it up.
Well, you know, years ago, it's been a long time ago. Over there in our pasture, there was a grown, butt-headed cow. She was black and white-sided.
Yeah.
And you remember when the people used to come around and set traps to catch screw flies? They was fighting the flu scribe. screw worm flies.
Yes.
Well, these men come to the house, and Marvin and Mr. Guthrie told them about that cow and told them that it was in the pasture. And we didn't know whose it was, and Marvin asked the Zephyrs, and he asked the Hoganses and the Tillmans, and the Hoganses said, yeah, that they knew who it was, it belonged to them. And they come and looked at it, and they said, no, it wasn't theirs. And, that fella lives between Rochelle and Winster. He said it was his. He'd lost one. He come looked at it and he said it wasn't his. He didn't know nothing about it. You know that cow's still living?
Where's your place?
Over there in the pasture. And nobody ever claimed her, and we never did find out where the cow come from or nothing about it. She just was with our herd, and she's branded, and she's marked. And that's been years ago. And you know she's an old cow.
Does this have a calf?
Yes, ma'am, she does. She has a calf every year.
Well, maybe I ought to let that old black cow stay over here.
The black cow?
That black cow. Don't you remember I was chasing out that when you and Marvin came over that time?
Well, they didn't. Nobody ever claimed that cow, and we don't know where in the world.
That cow got out from over yonder because they've got those, I know how they got those flaps on the ears. And why she wanted to leave over there and come over here is more than I can know.
Well, Mr. Moss, don't you know that cows like to change ranges?
Yeah.
They sure do.
Oh, yes.
I had a cousin one time that worked in the woods. He was cutting sawmill timber. That's been a good long time ago. And he come to the house one day and he told me one of the biggest tales I ever heard about. He seen so many deer over in Billy Hughes's pasture under some oak trees, and I just didn't pay no attention to it, and I figured, well, you just told a whopper. And I was telling my brother about it, and he is a deer hunter, and he said it's possible. He says certain times of the year they gather up and they move their range. Just like a bunch of cows. Cows love to change ranges.
But they won't leave their own herd.
No. Not very, once in a while they will. Once in a while one will wander off and get with somebody else's herd. Now we got two bunches of cows, one down at on the lake and one at the Denham place. And you know they don't associate with one another.
Well, that's right.
They don't. But once in a while, one will take a notion that he wants to get with a new herd, but it's not very often.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I can't. You know, the old cows always hunts the young ones.
Mm-hmm.
Even their own children, I guess. Mm-hmm. Now, that's odd. They just hunt them coming and going.
These four heifers that he put, put on your clothes, that he put with the nasty old butchers, I'd be glad to get over them, that he put with the herd this spring, they'll all four stay together. They'll go off in the corner and stay together. And when we try, and when we bring the herd up, they'll wait until everybody else is up.
Y'all going somewhere?
No, we not.
Y'all got something to do or somewhere to go?
No.
I thought maybe I'd meet Suzanne over here and make her go home with me.
Well, let me tell you, she has a class at from 10 till 11.
Well, she didn't tell me that.
This is Friday.
she told me last night that, is it Jim, her husband, that he got his master's degree.
Yeah.
He was through.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe she might have been through.
Oh, no. She's teaching. And she's got a class that goes to 11 o'clock. She couldn't get out here.
You mean Suzanne is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. She never told me that.
Well, you can't get the truth out of them. If you asked her, she'd...
She told me she was going to come over. Meet me over here. I told her I was coming.
Well, they are the world's worst at meeting. They tell me they're coming out here, you know, and first thing you know, I've spent the day out here and they haven't
There's
got here.
There's a squirrel.
Squirrel? No. Oh.
Watch him. He's fixing to go to it.
You want to jump?
I don't think he likes suet, does he?
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting right there on that limb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's out of your sight, honey.
You know, I'm out of...
Just kind of stoop over.
Couldn't see it, didn't he? I can't see it.
He was seeing me, yeah.
I'm out of chick scratch. I see that the chicken scratch is too coarse. And you can't get that chick scratch everywhere, and that's killing me. One of the red bellies brought the baby up a while ago.
Did?
Or woodpecker brought the baby woodpecker up.
And the baby would just.
Yeah.
So we.
But he could talk.
Yeah, put something on that, Mother. Some alcohol?
I'm kind of afraid that we're going to miss Marvin's job.
I tell you the best thing that goes along with that job is the medical side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You get that group sort of medical care?
Well, I don't know. I ain't got that.
Well, you get it on that. Here's his family.
He didn't take out no insurance. I got my own medical. Dr. Daly said I had the best insurance anybody could, money could buy.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I got that Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Yes, that's right. But you got it over there. Well, it's been cheaper than our fee.
Well, you see, I don't need it. And Marvin don't need it.
Yeah.
Marvin's a veteran.
Yeah.
And if he has to go to the hospital, all he's got to do is to take his discharge papers up there. He ain't supposed to pay no doctor bill, but he does it.
Yeah.
When he was sick with ulcers, he could have got it free, but he wouldn't have it.
Yeah, he is up there looking around.
And he a big one.
Ain't he a big one?
Could be a cat squirrel. He's fat.
He's in good shape. You know, I told you about that big possum I caught up there that night.
Uh-uh.
Oh, he was big and...
Golly, God.
Big that thing is.
Ooh.
It's a female.
Well,
it's a female squirrel.
Oh, that
you just didn't have nothing up there that he liked.
No, I didn't. They don't want that old suet.
Mm-mm.
They want that.
He went and smelled at it, though.
They want that chicken scratch.
And showed you she could get up there.
She might have a bunch of little babies somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, she's sure in good shape. Mm-hmm. If they have a family.
She is.
Oh, me.
My brother said the other day, said I'd eat them squirrels. I wouldn't kill one of them squirrels for a pretty around the house.
Well, you won't, but everybody else will.
Oh, yeah. And I had a sack of pecans Marvin bought for me out at the university from a colored fella. And I cleared them out then, put them down in piles, and they enjoyed them.
Yeah.
And did you know them boogers can take a pecan or a hickory nut, and they can feel at it and tell whether it's any good or not?
Yes.
They sure can.
Yeah.
And a coon can too.
And he won't crack one if it's not
good.
No, ma'am.
He'll throw it down.
Smarter than I am.
Yeah.
A pigeon come to the house one day. I seen him walking around in the yard. But he must have left. I haven't seen him since. He was down out there where we always parked the cars by the pump. Just stick it in the backyard.
I tell you, I saw something the other day. I was over there at Mr. Morgan's in Meganope. I was there past where he used to have a store. And I walked up there on the porch. I was going to speak to him a minute about the town meeting I went to over there. I got buzzed. This bird buzzed me. I ducked, you know. Come in. I looked up there. I just have to look up there. And on that little old porch, almost eye level, just a little bit. The porch is low. You can just barely walk under it. They had, right on the ledge there, it was a pair of martins. And they were buzzing me, but they didn't seem to be mad at me. They just let me know I was in the wrong place. Right there in the open. See, didn't have any box or anything, just the mud. A beautiful little nest.
Well, I heard something in my stovepipe, and it scratch, 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 scratch. And every time I'd go in the kitchen, they was just soot all over everything. And I got Marvin to help me take the pipe out. I had to move the stove to get the pipe out. And there was a martin down in there. I guess it was a martin. It was a black bird, and he had a little flat bill. And you can touch him, and he'll close his eyes. He's plumb dead. He acts just like he's dead.
Oh, really?
And I seen his little old wing, and I took his wing, and I put him out of the stove, and he was just asleep. He sound asleep. I carried him to the back screen door and held him out, and let him go. And he went across the field.
Just lit up.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong.
Martin calls them a bee martin.
Yeah.
But they plumb black.
Black.
And in your
pipe. In my stovepipe. Yeah. And I got him to get up there and stop up the flue so they couldn't get down there.
Well, do they build in there?
I don't know whether they do or not.
Well, now you see, I got this chimney here, and we got some swifts. And,
some what?
Chimney swifts.
Well, that's what this is.
Yes. Well, they come back every year.
Well, I always do too. And I don't like to hear them.
Yes. Well, I like to hear them.
Flopping in there and scratching in the pipe.
Yeah.
I can't stand that.
Well, it's not the pipe, it's in the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
And the babies.
Yes. And then outside, you know, they circle and they just do that chirping all the time. They're the best natured things. I just love to hear them talk. So you'll have to take the letter and open it up for them.
I don't see how they get along there with it, because you have a fire
in the stove. No, ma'am, I haven't had no fire in there since she's been in there.
Oh, I see.
Well, I don't think it must matter, a little smoke, or else they wouldn't build chimneys. I don't know.
Have you ever heard that a hummingbird would sting you?
No.
Well, I've always heard that, but I know somebody, my brother's kids had one, and you know, they'd go out and they'd get flowers, and that thing would suck them flowers, and they raise that thing?
Yeah.
Is that right? I never heard of that. I didn't know you could.
You can just sweeten the water, and they'll drink it out of the bottle.
And I told one that, I said, one of that bird will sting you, and they tell me it'll kill you. She said, why, that bird won't sting nobody. She found it when it was a little bit of a thing.
Yeah.
It fell out of the nest or something, and she took it and raised it.
Well, I would tell you, I've down here, you know Clyde's saddle shop down there? He's going to order me something, and I dropped down there, and he came out there, and he says, just look over there. And there was a little bit of a ledge there, and this little red bird sitting on it. He's half grown, had his wing feathers. He could fly from one person to another, and he's just sitting there talking to Clyde. He'd fell out of the nest somewhere, and Clyde had brought him in there and warmed him up and given him a little feed. I don't know what he said. And there he sat. Why, I thought first, well, you have to keep the door closed or it'll fly off. He don't want to fly off. He's right there at home.
Oh, I can't think of the woman's name now, but she used to run a beauty shop in Gainesville. And I used to go there to get my hair fixed, and she had a tame one, and that thing drank Coca-Cola out of the bottle.
Wow.
It sure did, and you'd be sitting in there and getting your hair fixed, and he'd come sit on your knee.
Yeah.
Miss Wilson. Nora Wilson.
Yeah.
And he went everywhere he wanted to go, and she said that when they fixed the table, said he had to have him some of the food they ate. But you know, he weren't as pretty as wild bird.
No.
He had a different color. He was dull colored.
Yeah.
But she kept him till he died.
Yeah.
And he just went anywhere he wanted to. He'd come sit on your shoulder or on your knee or foot. And he'd talk and get in the window, and he'd see the other birds and talk
that's
to them.
Isn't that something? And you have to go along and sweep up the droppings, I guess. Well, I never have raised a bird, but I know, you know, people who have. But this morning we were here. Yeah, anybody can kill them.
I don't either.
They
and
come marching.
Squirrels.
Mm-hmm. Come marching by here with their babies, you know, in little lines. Not as many.
People keep them killing. I think it's all right. Because I think that the Lord put quail here for people to eat. And I think it's all right if this